Good morning to you. This is the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 4341790, the number you can call to reach us. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862, which is 266-IVOB, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. John Stout is taking care of things technical. Welcome back, Lion, after a bit of a break. And we'll be going until 2 this afternoon with our usual breaks for the regional roundup. We track the latest. We get network news from Flo on a Thursday, and we have the latest at 12:30. 2 hours and 10 minutes of the throne speech by Her Excellency Dame Sandra Mason, or Governor General. And I noticed the press highlighting the various things that they thought were important. And as the throne speech progressed, I too made some notes that I shared with the listeners to the joint broadcast that I made note of along the way. The increase in the number of national heroes caught my attention, as did the transition to a Republican constitution. The reform of Parliament jumped at me because I kind of questioned what that would be and whether that would be in keeping with the new Republican constitution or whether there was another reason for a reform of Parliament and what it meant. The $40 million COVID relief program over a 12-month period caught my attention as well. The BEST program, the $300 million stimulus for the hotel sector, I'm going to come back to that one. I'm going to have a comment on that one because that caught my attention. The formation of a locally owned banking institution, that's what it was called in the throne speech, and a financial literacy bureau. Those caught my attention because the banking sector and whether or not we should have a national bank and what it could mean to the development of Barbados has always been one of the talking points on Down to Brass Tacks. The new immigration bill caught my attention because, again, this question of increase in population, how we get to a population size that can maintain our social security net, is another one of those emotional and contentious issues that get discussed on this program from time to time. And then, of course, the one that I knew was going to catch everybody's attention and have them making comments on was the change in legislation for the use of marijuana and the recognition of same-sex unions. Thought that was going to be a talking point, and I was not surprised when it was, or when it, you know, was highlighted. Then there was this one, a commission for improving the lives of persons with disabilities. Now, I may be the only person who made note of that one, but I made note of it because we've had, over the years, a white paper, green paper, can't remember which one came first, no, it's been so long. We have a disabilities unit, we have a council for the disabled, we have a special envoy for persons with disabilities. We now have buses that incorporate persons with disabilities with the general traveling public. During the throne speech, there was comment on roadworks that should include the changing of sidewalks to make it more user-friendly. So I wondered what a commission for improving the lives of people with disabilities would actually do and how it would go about its work. So that was one that caught my attention. I will look forward with some degree of interest in what happens there, where we have adult education. Oh, yeah, we also had a president of the Senate who identifies as a person with disabilities. So, you know, I wait to see what that will be, and I will follow that one closely. That'll be my pet peeve. You know, there are other people who have other pets that they want to raise. That one will be mine. The BEST program, the $300 million stimulus for the hotels. That one, for all sorts of reasons, including the fact that it's our main engine of growth and it's an area that I have, again, a soft spot for, caught my attention because of the list of names that appeared in the throne speech. The usual list. I've heard the list before. The list has been mentioned going back to the previous administration, some of the names. I've heard them before. And I listened to the numbers. I listened to how much they will assist the economy. And 1,800 construction workers, 1,200 full-time, $400 million project. That's the Hyatt Ziva, Sam Lord's Castle. In total, going through the whole list, I won't go through the list, new investments of $1.4 billion, approximately 4,500 construction workers for 2 years, and 3,275 additional jobs thereafter. Now, if you have 30,000 people unemployed, 3,275, 10% thereof, good figure. Impressive figure if you can get it done. My challenge, however, is this. I did not hear mention of the several projects. The beaches at Haywards was not in that list. The Caribbean Hotel was not in that list. The Savoy project on Bay Street was not in that list. And the 24 seasons of disappointment and broken promises on the top of Black Rock, you could call it what you want to call it. I really can't call it paradise, was not on that list. And to further dampen my enthusiasm, because I was enthusiastic, the Sunday Sun of September 13th, just prior to the throne speech, on page 6A, the chief executive officer of the Jada Group, a group that does construction, the headline said, "Uncertainty in construction. A major player in the construction sector says it may be some months before some private projects can get going." Philip Tempro said that because of the COVID pandemic, some of the projects had to change their plans. Now, a change of plan usually means submission of new plans to town planning. Town planning will have to approve the plans. So the question is, when will these projects that we've been talking about for so long come to fruition? Do we have 3,000, 4,000 construction workers currently unemployed? And how soon can they expect to be employed? Those are the things that I made note of. Oh, and by the way, as an analyst, not a political appointee, not a political whoever, just as someone who does the program. The two that I mentioned at the top, the increase in the number of national heroes and the transition to a Republican constitution, my note next to it was legacy items, because in the throne speech it was mentioned that the Right Excellent Earl Walton Barrow brought Barbados to independence and instituted universal secondary free education. And that the JMGM Tom Adams brought the 10 cent per square foot to the Tenantry Landholdings Freehold Act. Those are their legacy items. Those two items at the top, I tick them as being the legacy items of the current Prime Minister of Barbados. So I listen to the political jargon, I listen to political experts weigh in on, you know, whether this is warmed over soup or whether this is souffle or whatever else. But from straight political standpoint, unbalanced, or perhaps balanced but unbiased, that was my reading of the items in the throne speech. And it took me 10 minutes, longer than I thought. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Johnson?
Uh-huh.
How are you? I normally come on this program every 6 or 7 weeks, but I am concerned about something. I spoke to a program a few weeks back. You know the situation concerning, well, I won't even say anything about that is what print in the nation. I called the program and I was inquiring about the guy Pablo, the soldier who was apparently shot in
yes.
the street. And I said, well, and two days after that, I see the commissioner of police had her taking papers. But I'm still, I don't know what word to use. That family, the Kent family, is being devastated because the commissioner has said about 6 weeks ago that the investigation at a sensitive stage, that's what was the nation. We take it like that for granted. Then, you know, the family was in the papers something last week again, bemoaning how they were treated. And as far as I'm concerned, I spent a little time in the army, so I'm going too deep with that. No, I don't want to go off key. But something should have taken, something should have happened by now. Even the Minister of Home Affairs, say he, the new Minister of Home Affairs, the guy who was at the water world, said that, he said 2 weeks ago, he going down to get to the bottom of this. They said, the police said that the information was at a delicate stage.
Mm-hmm.
And the information was sensitive. And I feel that information should be finished since September already, Mr. Johnson.
So the problem with airing these types of issues in public is that it doesn't speed up the investigation. I agree with you. If there is an ongoing investigation, the family, those connected, should be kept abreast of what's happening. If there is a stumbling block, a roadblock, some problem with it, they should be kept abreast of it. And that's the reason for having public relations arms, the reason for having various agencies set up to assist people with dealing with tragic incidents. Because anybody who's involved in this at any level, whether the people who are in the room with him at the time, his family members, the people under investigation, members of their families, all these people have to be assured, reassured, and kept abreast of what's happening. If it's okay. not happening, then there is going to be the kind of public speculation that we get, which doesn't help any of the people at all.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I got another quick one for you.
Mm-hmm.
No, I never bought a pack of cigarettes in my life. So I let you know that in early.
Mm-hmm.
I am glad that at least the fellows who do the little marijuana with a spliff or two. But I said that should have been taken care of early since. Because imagine a fellow got a spliff or two in his pocket worth $10. And then he's arrested by the police, taken across the court with two police behind him with their weapons. And then a businessman, I say a businessman, I call a name.
So you don't have to call names because it is easily identified. I keep telling people stop using that as a shield. If I say I ain't calling no names, but the man does drive B-25, well, who that could be? So there was a businessman who was arrested, yes, sir, and charged.
And charged. Mm-hmm. He was allowed to walk across the station at Central Police Station with no escort. In fact, probably he was escorted, but
he was.
They had the picture. But then when he got bail now, he walking coming down the steps to the Supreme Court like if he just come from church. And I got a big, big issue with that. All people
What's
in this
issue
country
with
should
it?
Be treated. The whole the rich man is taken to court, mm-hmm. and how the small man like me or anybody.
Let me ask you this question then. Were you in the court precincts?
I went there one single time.
Okay. How did you know about the difference that you just highlighted?
Listen, I see that happen.
No, right. Where?
At District Air Police Station.
Good. And the one that you just mentioned, where did you see it? Again, at a point.
I saw it in the nation.
Right. Is there not also an issue of how the press treats these issues?
But there's a big issue how the press
okay.
treat the small man.
Okay. So, and this is the point I was getting at. A lot of the anxieties, anger, comments that are made, 9 out of 10 times, are made because of how the issues are covered. What is said, what is written, what is shown. When you read a news item that says, Mr. X or Mr. Y brutally ran over pedestrian X or Y, you get a different impression than if the person says, Mr. X and Mr. Y were involved in a collision along the Black Rock Main Road. You get the difference? When you read that Mr. X traveling in a car was decapitated and blood was splashed along the street and the side of the vehicle, you get a different impression.
Okay.
And the problem that sometimes aggravates people is the way the story was carried, the pictures that you've seen in the press, as opposed to... It aggravates the situation. That's the easiest way for me to put it. And therefore, those of us who have to cover these various incidents have to be careful about inflaming passions. And also, when where John is sitting today, or where I sit from time to time, it's one of the things we also have to look at, in addition to whether it is just defamatory or not, is whether it inflames or aggravates certain types of situations. And it's a fine line we have to walk. Unfortunately, sir, what you highlight is very real. It happens. There are different treatments. Look at the case of it being highlighted in the press as well, of two young lawyers who have been found guilty of misuse of clients' funds. One is on appeal. One is yet to appeal if they will appeal. One will be incarcerated. Both were in jail. One, according to the press, will be disbarred. They said will. They didn't say maybe. They said will. Although the Bar Association said they will go through the channels and, you know, but it was stated in the press that the person may not practice law again while the other one is practicing still. So when the public reads this, the way it's laid out, because that's where I read it. I wasn't there. I read it that way. It gives you an impression that there are two different applications to the law. What you may not hear is the pleas that were made, the aggravating circumstances that were taken into account, the balance of probability with clean record, and then, of course, the other thing that comes into play is the judge's statements. Some are carried, some are not. So all these things give us an impression of justice the way it should not be, as opposed to justice that we would like to see.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Good call. I enjoyed talking to you. This is Dr. Brastax. The WhatsApp message says, good morning. I need to know if it's possible for you to announce what is the age for which a child can be alone at home. With the online school going on and parents at work, I say this because a friend said a police officer told her 12. I'm sure it is 16. Please have someone inform the public. And really, it should be repeated several times. I fear many children will be at home unattended as a result of this. I called and I cannot get in. I will await confirmation on the time on this. The Child Care Board, I suppose, can give guidance about it. I have concerns about children 11 being left at home alone and 12. That's just my personal concern as a parent. Although my children are now all above the legal age, I still have concerns. And I've heard questions raised by parents who both work with children who are 11. Brastax, good morning.
Good morning, Sir Dennis.
Good morning, my friend.
I don't know if I can be able to call you, Sir Dennis, after the Republic.
Well, you can call me that still. You don't mean I have to. Listen, General Colin Powell is Sir Colin Powell. They just don't call him that in the States.
The reason,
the Queen didn't grant me mine, so you can call me whatever you want to call me.
Well, I tell you that. In 1970, I always was politically motivated. I listened to a public meeting in St. George's, and the late Lloyd Smith was supporting his son, and the late Earl Walton Barr was the speaker after him.
Mm-hmm.
Lloyd Smith said on the platform, he was in Parliament long enough that he feels it is time he should be called Sir. Later, Waldenberg got up after him to speak, and he said, "My child, I'm very sorry for you, because there will be no more Sirs after this election. Today is 2020. This is 1970, it is 2020, and we're still having the name Sir in place of people." You see, I said that to say that a lot of things are being spoken at election time. Now, I heard you just said there's somebody query about little children being left at home. No, I could give you my part. I came along. I was the, my mother had two children. My brother 10 years younger than I do. Dennis, I got up on mornings. And see mother, and see father, 7, 8 years old up to when I finished school. And I remember the morning I had to do the screening test. When I got up, my mother, I looked, and there was two soft, ready two hard by legs. I had to travel to St. Bernard. No mother, no father. When I did the entrance at Zamak Combermere, I got up, no mother, no father. I catch the bus. I saw 15 cents on the table. And then I get down there, and I did the exam at Combermere. There was a guy by the name of Richard who had married a nice girl from Blackmonton when I finished the exam. And he rode me from Combermere on his bicycle to Andrew Factory. Because I didn't even have the money to get the bus. I know how to get back home. So I said that to say this.
I wait until here.
Time has changed. Now, let me say this now. I heard you start off this morning on a very good note.
Well, before you go there, let me say this to you about what you just said, right? What you've just outlined was not unusual in your time or mine.
Well,
because we had, we were trained one way or another in, and we were guided. Times were less, I suppose, dangerous for children. There were other dangers, but the bigger ones looked out for the smaller ones, and a lot of us grew up in that environment. We learned to be responsible from an early age. You had to get up to take out the chickens, tie out the sheep, and do other things. Today, our children are not exactly trained in that way. We have children attending secondary school up to the age of 14, 15 plus, who've never caught a bus. They never walked any long distance to get to or from school. The only way they know to get to school or from school is somebody picking them up and taking them there or dropping them back. Because people tell me times have changed and it's dangerous and people look out for their children and we ain't got donkey cats no more and the world has improved. So I take that. But I also understand that because of that, our children have a different type of approach to life and to each other. And they are perhaps not as responsible as they should be, which was one of the reasons I highlighted this Financial Literacy Bureau, because we have people who have worked and they have no idea how to manage their financial affairs because they've never been taught. I am sure your mother sent you to the shop with $2 or with 50 cents. And you had to bring back right change after giving a whole litany of what you wanted to buy.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So you knew how to reckon in your head.
I can give you a drop before I go into my subject. I raised with my grandmother, and she was an ardent supporter of the New Testament Church. Now I used to sleep with my grandmother, and I remember the night before. They had a service, but in those days they got something called 40 morning service. The sermon that was preached by the pastor was a man named Brother Jones from St. George. God rest him in his grave. He died about a year or two ago. And they was preaching about two should be in a bed and one should be taken away. When I got up the morning, no grandmother, early after 5:06. I look outside, nobody on the road. Dennis, I went back in the house and cried my life away.
Because you thought your grandmother would be taken away?
My grandmother gone out to heaven and left me.
I hear you, sir.
Yeah, now let me go on.
I hear you. That would scare you.
Yeah. Now let me go on now to what I am going to speak about, which is pertaining to the throne speech. Now, I heard you made mention of things that were said, and we expect things to happen. But before we go into it, I certain you had some knowledge of salesmanship. I took a course in sales, and they said the first thing you should do is try to create the interest in the purchaser or the person who is going to buy the product from you. If you fail to get the interest of the person or the prospective buyer, your sales has already finished before it starts. In my analysis, I would say that the throne speech has put the opposition parties in a better state than they did before. Let me take, for instance, the Democratic Labour Party. The issues that came up at the throne speech have created interest among the public at a time when the DLP was not in a position to motivate the interest of the public. The other thing was when I heard the Prime Minister replying, which I was actually dumbfounded, when I heard the Prime Minister replying to the leader of the opposition, I said, I wonder who are her advisors. Because naturally speaking, I would say that Varela Depeezy come out the winner. Because as long as you could create interest to get my opponent to respond to me, it means, therefore, you have created interest in the country. And the argument that was placed by the Prime Minister was simple. She has a problem because coming up annual conference, she would have competition and she would have the George Pilgrim. Now, let me say this. Now, there are three police, there's a Governor General, the first female. Mayor Amor Martley, or Prime Minister, is the first female leader of the Barbados Labour Party. And Verla Depeezy is the first president, female president of the Democratic Labour Party. Now, when she accused Verla Depeezy of her opponent, I thought that we always said we should think before we speak. And Verla Depeezy used the method that was used and showed how resilient Mayor Martley is. Because remember that she had a group that marched to the Governor General saying they had no confidence in her. But before, after that, she showed her resilience and came back and today the Prime Minister. All Varela would have to do is to follow the same principle that even if she is being defeated, not to give up. Now, I am not going into the details of the trustee. Dennis B. would detail that. I read through it, and I have said I would deal with it one by one. But one of the things that come up with the opposition party is that mysterious thing of choosing a date. What have come out of the throne speech is that you would know that election would not come not till after Republic. So the opposition party now is in a better position so as to put the troops in place towards that. And last but not least, you know I always tell you I don't read manifestos. I don't read them. But because of that, I happen to look through some articles and I'm going to pull up two for you. On Weekend Nation, Friday, December the 20th, 27th, after former Prime Minister Owen Arthur went and paying his money at the Treasury building, this is what Arthur had to say, and I can quote it verbatimly. Arthur said, I look forward to the next term, especially in the area of health care. The opportunity to build a new hospital excites me. The new hospital ain't come yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right. I hear they're talking a lot about black belly sheep.
Mm-hmm.
you should remember this. On Monday, January 23rd, 2017, a big headline on the front page, sheepskin goods is a major breakthrough has been made involving the barbarous black-belly sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're hearing a lot about black-belly sheep again.
Right.
Now, how far have we gone pertaining to the leather craft, pertaining to black-belly sheep? You have any idea?
No, I haven't, but I'm sure Dr. Leroy will make a comment on that at some point. I saw him at the state opening of Parliament, and I know he was very instrumental in doing research on the black-belly sheep. I think that's what his PhD is in, as a matter of fact. And it is a source, I think, of income for Barbados, if properly handled. Everything from having patents in it and developing, I noticed they said in the, I think it's in the throne speech, I read the whole thing in the time that I was sitting down there doing nothing.
Yeah.
About the development of how to cut it properly and do special cuts and save the skin.
But also, let me finish on this and then you could continue.
Mm-hmm.
And also that was made mention about this, as the person who is responsible at the university pertaining to these black-belly sheep.
Mm-hmm.
They are on to say that in the region, they can be found in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, St. Lucia and Grenada black-belly sheep.
Yes.
So
it was exported to the region.
And they came from Barbados.
Yeah.
So if we do not take the initiative mm-hmm. and go forward in making it a profitable source of income, there are other countries who have the breed, and they may be able to manifest and make more out of the black-belly sheep than we that started the breed.
Yes, so, sir. But again, as I said, if we take out the correct patents and the administrative letters that would give us rights to it.
The rights on black-belly.
Correct. We would be able to use that to our benefit. I believe.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, but
that's my belief.
But I'm not going too far now, but
no problem.
I am reading through the articles and the topics that was said with the Governor General pertaining to the prospective ideas that are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I will go into detail and later on.
Okay. No problem, sir.
You and I would discuss that.
Well, when we get the chance, and if we get the chance, we'll do that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you as well. You made a comment, though, that, and there's a WhatsApp message here, so I'm going to tie them two together. Person said, should a 16-year-old Barbadian citizen or citizens whose 18th birthday will fall before or on the day of the next constitutionally due election be allowed to vote in the upcoming referendum? Obviously, this raises the question whether our young people are sufficiently engaged politically and socially that we can consider them cognitively mature to understand the many cultural and political issues that affect society. And I asked them, when will this referendum be held? And the response was, none of us know. Now, here's my belief. Since you mentioned that elections will not come until after the Republican status is achieved, and since I highlighted that in the throne speech, I paid particular attention to something called the reform of Parliament. I want to know, what's the reform of Parliament? Will there be new constituencies, more seats, a change in, you know, the parliamentary procedure? Will that be part of the Republican Constitution? But here's my belief. Post-Republic Declaration, whenever it does come, that referendum will be part of a general election, because it is expensive to mount a referendum, which is exactly like an election. You have to have returning officers, you have to have polling stations, you have to have ID cards, and we're supposed to be getting new ID cards too. So the rollout of new ID cards, the reform of Parliament, Republican status, general election with referendum attached. That's my timeline. You could put it where you want to put it. February, March, 2022. That's my feeling, that when that referendum will come. But we shall see. I could be wrong. I am not a political scientist, not even a soothsayer. I just follow this talk on the radio. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, ma'am.
And good morning to the listeners.
Mm.
Barbados seems to be hearing that same pattern like Jim Jones. Why you say that? I'm not hearing no pastors, the real Christians coming out saying nothing. Everybody's silent. No.
Who's a real Christian, ma'am?
The Christians that is real Christians. What but the Christians
who are those?
That pretend to be Christians. Then.
Who are those?
Christians. Anyhow.
But how you identify them? They dress differently, they look differently, they sound differently. How you know a real Christian?
Well, who said that there's Christians then? Who said they are Christians?
No, that's a completely different thing, you know.
All right.
Because if you are a reader of the Bible, are you?
Yes.
You read the part that says, by your works you shall know them. It has nothing to do with what you say. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go
but
ahead.
Anyhow.
I selectively chose that piece.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The government said the population shot by 80,000 people.
Correct.
But no, this thing says stop the list. By me to say it.
Who topped the list with it, ma'am?
Well, you're hearing the talk all around. All
ma'am, but just therefore is you that talking about it? If people talk about the 80,000 and having children, that's what we would talk about? You talking about that? Not me? I ain't mentioning it.
Okay, anyhow, he's saying sex people cannot get no children.
Oh, you
so
know
I
that?
I want to know, how they get children if it's my
Elton John have two. Michael Jackson have three. How they get them?
Them is saying sex, I don't know.
They are. Very much so. Elton John married to a man. And he got two children, boys too.
So how he get them?
What are you asking me? I've been married twice and I got three children. I know how I get them.
I know how you call you went well woman. Anyhow.
You saw me?
Huh? Uh-huh. You? Anyhow.
I know you see me. Regularly. Yeah,
I want to know the PM. I mean the Prime Minister. She's looking for the same sex unions to boost the economy because it means they can't get the children, they'll be adopting children.
I don't know, ma'am.
80,000 people.
Ma'am, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Follow the science if you want to.
Okay.
People have frozen their embryos. People have donated sperm. They got sperm bank. They got embryos. They've sold it. And they have children born of it. We have a whole fertility clinic in Barbados that people has come from all over the world here to attend so they could get children. Michael Jackson had surrogates. Elton John, I don't know how he get his. I didn't read up on it, but he has two sons. So there are other ways other than adoption where people who are in same-sex unions who want to raise children of a particular gender too are able to do so. Let's get back to the 80,000, which seemed to be another one of the talking points. I do not believe that four cruise ships carrying 20,000 people in will dock in Barbados and put 80,000 people in Barbados. It cannot happen.
Okay.
It cannot happen because Barbados does not have the infrastructure in place to have 80,000 people right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you've looked at the national insurance and the contributions being made by your working population, and you've determined that in 15 years' time, you will have more old people than working people who can contribute to the fund and keep it solvent, you need to have X number of extra people. Canada determined there was a couple million and decided that they wanted people of childbearing age, of a certain type of education, come into their country so they could work and increase their social security benefits, and they have done so. They got Bajans who are up there now. I know others who are going there too to live, get married, and have children up there to increase Canada's contributions. Now, for Barbados to do the same thing, Barbados has to first have accommodation over the next 15 years to accommodate an increase in population. Barbados has to have more working opportunities to deal with the extra people that they plan to have working so that they can contribute to the national insurance. Barbados has to ensure that if it needs 80,000 people and 50,000 of them are heterosexual married couples or unmarried couples having children, that they have at least 30,000 places in schools for them to go to school, that they have buses, that all those things have to be in place before you have 80,000 more people settled in Barbados. And anybody who tries to do it any other way, take it from me, is close to being insane.
All right, then.
Go ahead.
My other thing here, I heard that a cruise ship coming in November.
Correct.
But I want to know, right, I wonder how they will be testing these people, because I wonder if they have sufficient testers.
They are having them tested before they get on the ship.
Oh.
They're having them tested on the ship before they get off.
Mm. Okay.
And we have tests at the port.
Okay, okay.
And according to the people who are doing it, they'll mm-hmm. make sure that if the persons are coming in by air to join mm-hmm. the ship, that they do not come to Barbados a day or two in advance and have to stay in Barbados, that they'll be able to go from airport to port on the ship and out of here.
Okay, we will see then.
We will, indeed.
Yes.
And
right,
I look forward to
day.
Seeing you too, ma'am.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Down to Brass Tacks. 434-1790 Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
What's happening?
I'm all right. How are you, man?
I hear. Trying.
That's all we could do.
You okay, though? You sound upbeat, man.
I all right. I trying to stay. I tell people, when I sound like this, that's when I'm pulling hard.
Oh, you pulling hard?
I pulling hard. I like you. You know when you're going uphill, you change gears?
Yeah.
And stamp on
yeah.
the gas? Good. That's yeah. what I did. Change gears and stamp on the gas.
Oh, okay. So you're still changing gears?
I still changing gears.
You got to get with it, man.
I try.
You got to let the unit change the gears for you.
Give me the unit now, man. I had one the other day. Real sweet. Are you serious?
Anyhow.
You see me in it and talk.
Dennis?
Yes, sir. What happened? You sound shaken today. What happened?
No, not really.
No,
right,
just
Mr. Shaw.
Tell them don't call you yet. Yeah, when you finish.
Yeah. Do you know that's happened all the time.
I know that.
Right. What I would say to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am not too interested in marijuana now selling at 2 cents a pound. That really don't excite me.
Mm-hmm.
I have no business with that.
Right.
F brandy, the same thing go for brandy and them big milk drinks that you like. I don't really bother with that.
The arthritis with it.
I am saying to you that probably, if the one I man rise any to any big proportion, I might have a little concern, because I would indulge with a little flask, and that would last me at least about 2 to 3 weeks.
Right.
Okay, over time. So I really don't overindulge, and I could do without indulging anyhow when it comes to, and cigarettes, I don't care if they make. The point that I'm trying to make, right? This is the point I'm trying to make. What interests me is this. Out of all of the long run-up in the Trump speech, the one thing that has been affecting Barbadians, especially on your program, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and even before then, because it didn't start 2 or 3 weeks ago, it started a while now. Why I didn't get a clear definitive statement coming from the Governor General about how her government, because that's what she continually saying.
It is.
Her government, my
it is.
Mm. It is my government too. How the government of Barbados plan to wrestle your former employees in the land of Barbados. I can tell you this here before you shop at the bait, right? When I used to do banking on a regular basis, right? I buy a checkbook. And my checkbook of a 50-page checkbook cost me $52, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all right?
It's not close.
No, $52. $52.
Mm-hmm.
And it means, therefore, that if you write a check and you spoil the check by writing it, it means that there's a cost, because you got to strip it up, right? I am saying the long and short that I'm trying to say is this. When Royal Bank or the other bank, I think it's Scotia Bank, that start this foolishness in Barbados, issue their customer that have money in their bank, they allow their customer to buy a checkbook to issue to the people that they would employ or their that they will contract their services, right? The reason for the checks, you well know better than me, Dennis Johnson, you were in the bank, right, is to make quick access to the person money after they pay you.
Right.
And it means, therefore, that the money is in the bank. If they got a question about if the money is in the bank, they will put a secure feature on it and draw two lines through it and tell you, hey,
deposit this.
Post-date it or something like that.
Or deposit it, yeah. It could only be deposited. It crossed, yeah.
But it's not fair to me that I work for Dennis Johnson. Dennis Johnson issued me a check that he know Dennis Johnson didn't cross it because Dennis is adamant or real sure that he got this amount in the bank that I could get right away. When they get down to Dennis Johnson Bank, right, which is Royal Bank, they're telling me, hey, man, you got to carry that check someplace else because you're not a customer. You're not a customer.
That Why you want the government to fix that? In its own speech? Why you thought
because,
the government should
fix that? Because I'm saying that these things are... I think that the government...
But, sir, first thing first. I let you get today, right? But I got to pull you up now before you dig the hole any deeper. Number one, and this is the second person I'm going to say this to because someone sent a WhatsApp message about it, so I responded. The government of Barbados does not regulate banks. The Central Bank of Barbados has the authority so to do. Our Central Bank, however, does not have teeth to tell the banks what to charge or not to charge. Therefore, the customer can take their money out of Royal Bank and go across to First Citizens, which will cash your check if you have the account there once you send the body there. I know that because that's the bank I use. So they just get a free ad from me, right? And I don't get charges spirited in the middle of the night and have me scratching my head. Plus, the banks are conveniently located. They got nice staff, and I just go there all the time, and they don't have a line wrap around the building where people stand up in the front in the hot sun, sweating and complaining. The problem with us is that we like to go to banks that give we hell. We like to go with women that give we hell. We like to buy cars that give we hell, and then come and brass tacks and complain about it. Do something. Move your money. So boss, let me tell you something. I spent 12 years in the bank, and when the bank did not do what I think it should do, I told them so. And I was told, you ain't going to live in the bank. You ain't going to make no get no way in the bank because I thought they were doing foolishness. And when I left the bank, I did not put my money in that bank. I took it somewhere else. And I keep hearing people complaining about this and saying, somebody should fix it. You fix it. Move your money. Sir, let me say this to you. There are banks in Barbados who don't want to be in Barbados. You know why? Their client base ain't big enough. They ain't making enough money. And they don't think they need to be here. They want an excuse to go, so they're treating you bad. Just as when the woman tired with you, and anyone put you close by the door and start asking you all kind of foolishness.
I would let you start talking about my woman business. Because my woman down with me ever since.
You notice I went silent, right? Talking my business all the time. You know, leave my business out of this. I talk in general. Maybe I've been left before. But they just make you miserable. They start asking why you got too much tuna in the tuna casserole. Why you got so much fabric softener in the fabric softener. They just ask you stupid questions. Because they want to get you frustrated. And they want you left. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, come on. Listen, one thing about me is that I just talk the truth. I know what I went through. So I don't know why you all just lie. Men like to lie too much and let people say that we men are liars. Speak the truth.
I don't get it.
Oh, you get it now? You didn't know that's what it was?
I left it tomorrow. Anyway,
Dennis. Let me say this to you, though, on a serious note. Let me get back on the topic. Let me get back to the topic. If you have a situation, right, where, as has happened, the banking institution you work with is frustrating your attempts to conduct business. And here's why I find it curious. The bank has access to the balance of the customer.
Uh-huh.
The bank has access to the signature of the customer. The bank has access to the customer's business transactions. So if the name of my business is Dennis Johnson Incorporated, the bank would know whether Dennis Johnson Incorporated employs plumbers, mechanics, artists, artisans, or whomever.
Mm-hmm.
So If an artist, artisan, anybody connected with my business walks in with a Dennis Johnson check, signed, the signature is authentic, the amount is on my account, all the person has to do is to present an ID saying, you are Mr. X that this check is written to, and pay you the money. They ain't gonna find out whether your eye blue, whether your back green. If it's made out in the name of a business, they may ask you if you own the business, and you would have to produce something that says you are the sole owner of Freighting Construction and Building Works Incorporated. You're not allowed to cash a check that says that, okay? Because that's a business entity. You should put it in the business account for accounting purposes and withdraw it to pay your staff. But if it made payable to, you know, Mr. John Brown Esquire, you give Mr. John Brown the money. Whether he paid to a vagrant, a taxi driver, or to 10 outside women is not the business of the bank. The business of the bank is that Dennis Johnson write the check, he has $1,000, that's his signature, and they're payable to you, and that's the ID. Full stop. And write your ID number on the back under your name. Because your national insurer, your national ID number will find out where and who you are. Full stop.
Dennis?
Yes, sir.
I thought that you'd be making a mistake, but you correct it just now in your last sentiment.
See, I try very hard not to make mistakes.
I'm serious.
I try very hard not to make mistakes.
The truth is, and this is where I thought you was making the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You got your money in the bank. You give me a check because you know that your money is in the bank. It is me now that got the issue. Not you. Not
correct.
You, the provider of the check, you know. Not you, the provider of the cash that in the bank. It is me now that don't have an account anywhere else. You understand?
Correct.
That got to do the embarrassing thing to come back to Dennis boy. Then people say that if I gotta get to see a cash, you gotta cash it, or you gotta go and pay, you know? Then you buy the check, but in the first place to stop you from getting the bank.
And stand up in a line and doing
and
all that.
And stand up in a line.
Or walking, or walking wrong. Worse, walking wrong with $20,000 in $2 bills. Just being stupid. So, look, move the money, okay? And the president of the Bankers Association, again, could take issue with me for saying so. But that's my advice. Move the money. I can't give you another piece, sir. I really
can't. But you
got to
tell the check owners that.
Well, correct.
You can't tell the receivers of the check. You got to tell the check owners that. Because the man that cutting you lawn, right, or washing off your car, and you pay anybody, man. Right? All he interested in is that you can pay even he done.
Correct. So I disagree with you.
Anyway, Dennis.
Yes,
thanks
sir.
For hearing me, man.
Anytime, my buddy. Take care. Brad Stacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hi.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hi, morning.
Yesterday, I heard a lady raise some questions about the hospital yesterday, which is, you know, very interesting, and a lot of foolishness is going there. But I will hope this morning that the Minister of Health, the Lieutenant Colonel, the Honourable, is listening, right? These people doing the X-ray and CAT scan, always referring people now to go to Belleville and get things done, right? And don't you know, and I can say to this day, that when you get in Belleville, those are the same people know that you got to do it, because you know what? They are public servants. They're getting paid to do a job, and they are bluntly refusing to do that job in the hospital. But somehow they could go privately, and they want you to go privately. But they're same people. They are the same people that are going over there to do the job. They're refusing, and this is something that the minister wants looking into the hospital. The people at the heads at the hospital know that these things are going on, and they're refusing to speak to these people, reference these things that's going on in the hospital. This is not fair to people in this economic time. That you telling people, oh, you can't get it, then you got to come back in 3 or 4. It's ridiculous. I'm 100% sure that is. You can get 60 of those CAT scan and X-rays do every day. Every day. But they're taking it on themselves not to do the people's job. Like, and this is not fair to the taxpayers. It's not fair to us paying them to come over and sit down. Sit down in there refusing to do it. I had experience with them. With somebody, I had to call that man and tell him, look, go there and do it. He said, please, 5 minutes, Dennis. These CAT scan X-rays, they're 5 to 10 minutes to do. You understand what I'm telling you?
And so I have had
very
at
sad.
Least I have had
we
at least six.
These people where we are paying them to do a job. It is very sad, and this is something the minister should put his foot down and make sure these people do their job. It is no, we should be paying them to come work. Sit down in the office. Bloody sit down watching you out there. And refuse to do it till you come by in 2 days, I mean 2 months. Ridiculous. You can do 100 of them every day. Comfortable. Guaranteed. You hear what I tell you, Dennis? Guaranteed. This is ridiculous, and the Minister of Health want getting down to the bottom of this here. This is nonsense for the people in a town like this. Don't have any money, have any food, and you're telling people go to Belfast. This is nonsense in the highest degree. And we want, if you won't come where you don't want to go do the people's job, get another job. And it's simple as that. Let somebody that won't come where and do the people money, I mean people's work, come and do it. This is ridiculous.
Sir, let me say to you, as I was trying to say to you just now, I have a message here from my colleague Peter Wickham that says, the Director of Medical Services has indicated that he will send a formal response on the issue of X-ray services, and it should be available before you come off air today. So I'll wait on that for you, sir. As someone who has had to have several CT scans done over a period of time, I know the cost. I know the time it takes, and I have had them done at various places, including when I was hospitalized. I had it done at the hospital on at least 4 or 5 occasions,
and
privately,
between me and you, and
privately I, twice that I know was expensive.
How much minutes did it take to do these things?
Well, sir, my own took a while. When I say a while, I mean a long while. I was
okay.
In the city. Because of my condition, and I had a
right,
3-centimeter tumor. No, I don't mind talking about it, sir, because my health issues, I think the more I talk about it, the more people will realize that there are conditions that people don't mind talking about. There was a 3-centimeter tumor attached somewhere between my brain and my spinal cord, and they were trying to pick it up. And so they were doing several scans between my nostril and my upper chest, and it took a while. But some of them are easy to do, some of them take a while, but in every case, they're very expensive. But my thing is this continued allegation, and I'm using the term allegation at the moment, this continued allegation that there are persons working at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, operate private medical facilities and channel work in that direction,
correct,
rather than using the facilities at the QEH. And in reverse, sometimes using the facilities at the QEH for their personal benefit is something that needs to be fixed, something that needs to be addressed frontally, and if it is occurring, something that needs to be corrected urgently. Because the same way persons in the legal profession have given the legal profession a bad name because they have misused and misappropriated clients' funds, doctors who do this are also giving the medical profession, the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, a bad name with people who are in need desperately of medical attention.
Urgency.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And people's health, either financial or physical, should not be made to be play the fool with to benefit anybody financially is the easiest way I would put
it,
sir.
For their benefit, and they, again, they don't give a public servant do our job or leave it. Let us get somebody and one that gonna do the job, and it's simple as that.
Okay, sir.
And I'm very adamant about this.
Yes,
right,
sir. I agree with you.
I read the response on the minister, whoever supposed to give you an update on this year.
It's supposed to be the head of medical services, according to Mr. Wickham. Hopefully,
you know
he'll
what?
Get
and they didn't know about it. And they didn't send that going on yesterday. You understand? It's not something that was going on yesterday. And they keep referring, because they're the same person now that getting double pay from the government and pay from the private. If you want to go work private, go ahead. start holding up our people's job and start putting people's lives at risk. Mm-hmm. It is wrong. And you people that don't, you're doing it, you need to cease and desist immediately and get on with the people's work.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, sir.